Hello and welcome back to Most Clicked. Every week we are bringing you one hot topic from the Education Marketer newsletter. I'm your host, Nathan Monk. I'm from Smile and I'm joined by Matt Lees, also from Smile, but Kyle Campbell from the Education Marketer. So this week we are talking about millennial parents. And I think, yeah, we are all millennial parents. So we can be the first-hand guests here on Most Click. So Kyle, what's the story here?
Okay, so this comes off the back of a LinkedIn post I put out, and you know, I publish on LinkedIn pretty much daily. Some stuff performs decent and then some stuff really surprises me, and this is one that surprised me. So I wrote about how millennial parents are possibly one of the quietest threats to higher ed. I know that sounds quite dramatic, but what I'm going up against here is looking at the perception of higher ed from a millennial and how that perception is passed on to the up-and-coming generation, Generation A, as they're making their university choices within the next 4 to 6 years. The oldest Gen A are probably around 12 years old now. And it occurred to me that if you think about what a millennial's perception of higher education is and was, it is vastly different to what higher ed is today. But the other thing that adds something quite troubling to the mix is that if you're a millennial and you graduated after the financial crash, you tended to have a very negative experience of getting a job, getting into the job market, despite having an incredible amount of education. And specifically for myself and for a lot of my peers, it's sort of left a little bit of a misconception about what the value of higher ed is. Now, I've worked in higher ed for about 10 years, so I am enlightened. I know universities have changed a hell of a lot in that time period. But the vast amount of millennials who don't work in higher ed, they're not aware of the differences. And there's a few examples I picked out, like for a millennial considering like university as a choice, university was viewed as like the high method, whereas apprenticeships were not viewed as a track that you would consider, whereas now, you know, degree apprentices outperform graduates, right? And there's other stuff as well, like graduate schemes. That was the basic route that a millennial was told to do. That was what your careers advisor would tell you. But nowadays, career teams are advising on people on how to start their own businesses, how to go freelance, how to take advantage of all the different routes into employability. So there's a big disconnect between a typical millennial's understanding of HE and the reality of what it is today. So they could be quite a loud critic. And this seems to resonate with the people who read the post and a lot of people in the sector. So it's clearly an idea that's been floating around. I guess, you know, I was probably one of the first to kind of chuck it into a 300-word post. But I just thought it was a really interesting topic. I'm curious what you guys think, because for me, I think with Gen A coming up through the ranks, I think millennials are going to be a serious gatekeeper and potentially a quite a quiet threat to higher ed in the next 4 to 6 years.
I thought the examples that you picked out were spot on. One in particular I can draw close kind of comparisons with around universities nowadays helping people to start businesses. And that was anything but the case when we did our degree. And I don't think we were really prepared for what working life was going to be like. It was kind of made out that we were given briefs that were around 8 or 16 weeks long, but in reality it's never actually lived up to that. And you know, we get briefs now that's, we need this yesterday, you've got no time, no money to do this with. So yeah, it doesn't align. And the bit about starting businesses, I think we actually had more detractors than supporters whilst we were trying to set up our business. And we've got that personal experience because Nathan and I started our business whilst we were at university as part of our final major project. So yeah, I think we can draw comparisons there.
I mean, I think so. Even if you look at it in, because for me, there's two categories of millennial, right? Not in general, but in terms of this HE issue. So you've got those who graduated post-crash and those who graduated pre-crash, and both have a skewed idea of, you know, the value of education, right? So if you were lucky enough to graduate pre-crash, you actually had a half decent time because, you know, the market was pretty good. And, you know, with your education and no practical experience, you could walk into a decent entry position. But even though the case, that still leaves you with a bit of a weird understanding of, you know, that university value, doesn't it? Because if you went to university today and you didn't do any work experience for 3 years or any kind of work-based modules, you're going to have a bad time. So there's a whole, like, what's the word? Re-education program, yeah. Especially around parental comms that needs to happen. Because right now, your typical parental comm is talking about why university and issues around that. It's not necessarily trying to break down a solid pre-existing understanding of what university is because someone went to university. So there's a lot that needs to be undone there. So parental comms, probably, you know, over the next few years, I just think they need to be looked at very closely, how they're delivered. I mean, what's a parental comm look like now? A lot of it's in a PDF, isn't it? It's a guidebook. Yeah. Is that how information is read today? I'm not too sure it is. So it's just questions around that.
Well, it's two brand new generations. And I think in recent memory, we've had the kind of, there's been a lot of talk around Gen Z and stuff like that, but the parent generation just hasn't really changed significantly, at least. But with millennial parents coming in, I feel like that's quite a big shift in how they are going to communicate. Like we're gonna see digitally native parents at this point. It's going to open a lot of doors, but it also means that HE's got to adapt to that incoming generation, you know.
Yeah, and you've got, for the first time ever, you've got both a parent and a child who are digitally native. Isn't that terrifying?
You know, yeah.
I don't think there's much forgiveness left, is there? So there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And again, this is why I call it a quiet threat. I don't see it spoken about a lot, that this isn't just like moving to the next generation. You've got the two coming in together, haven't you? You've got two new types of digital native coming to campuses
also, though. Maybe it's kind of the early warning signs that people need to start getting ready. Like, this is coming, you can't stop this. So it really is a case of what can you do now to prepare? And it might not mean, you know, completely overhauling things, but it might just mean laying some foundations for things that are going to pay off in 3 to 5 years down the road. Because the whole, you know, the Gen A thing is not like an immediate threat, but it's coming. And I think that, for as with anything in life, the better prepared you are, the better the payoff's going to be. Right. Well, I think that just about rounds off this week's episode on millennial parents. If you have enjoyed today's show, please do drop us a like or a subscribe. But until next week, next Monday, see you soon.